Edith Bevin on ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania.
We're now going to talk bees. Did you know that one of the most prolific beehives in Hobart is on top of the council chambers? And Hobart City Councillor Bill Harvey joins us now to talk all things bees. Hello, Bill.
G'day, Edith. How are you going?
I'm really well. Look, the last time I saw you, you basically busted me pinching, as in feeling, not taking, a sprig of lavender that was in a planting box outside the council's front door because it just looked so good that I thought it must be fake. And that's when you started to tell me about the bees on the roof. So I guess the first question is, why are there bees on the roof of Hobart City Council chambers?
Well, look, firstly, thanks for your interest in this because I think it's a really excellent story about looking after biodiversity and about looking after pollinators. But it's a deeper, you know, story than that. We've got bees on both the town hall and the council centre. So I've got two hives on the town hall and two hives on the council centre. And these are really important beehives because they're part of the National Bee Pest Surveillance Program. So these are guardian hives. They're sentinels that are on our roofs. And they look out for other or pests that might come to Hobart. So they're providing a really good service and they also produce honey and they're really productive hives.
So is it the council's idea or is it like a biosecurity type initiative?
Well, it is a biosecurity initiative. Came about last year, early 2019, I was chatting to a beekeeper I happened to meet and we were talking about the Sentinel Hive program. And I said, well, maybe the town hall could be a good location because I think ABC had Sentinel Hives there for a while. And I don't think you have them anymore.
No, we don't. Someone raised the point that there could be that people that were allergic to the to the bee stings. And, of course, because we're the ABC, we suddenly went, oh, yes, well, no, we can't have them anymore.
Well, these ones are up on the roof and no one has access to them except for Biosecurity Tasmania and for the volunteer beekeeper that looks after them. But, yeah, we thought it would be a good idea. They approached the council with a formal request to install hives, Biosecurity Tasmania and the beekeeper. And that was agreed to by the council officers because they saw the benefits of having sentinel hives on the roof that were protecting the bee population in Tasmania from diseases that might come in. So these are where, you know, they're checked every 6 weeks or so for diseases. And I'm going to read the list of diseases here because I can't remember it. But Varroa, we all know that one, Varroa mites. Then there's Tropolelaps mites and tracheal mites and small hive beetle. And then a number of other viruses that Biosecurity Tasmania are always on the lookout for. So these hives are part of a program that's national, but they're also in Devonport and Burnie and Bell Bay. So it's a statewide thing. And if any diseases that could, you know, affect our bees in Tasmania happen to come in via the ports, hopefully they would arrive at these beehives first before they went too far and they could be dealt with in a timely manner.
Aha. Uh-huh. Now, just let me take you back to that conversation where I was filling up the plants outside of the council chambers. The reason why we got onto the topic of bees is that you were telling me, when I was surprised that the plant was actually real and not fake because it looked so good, you were telling me that your theory is that that those hives are some of the, I guess, most prolific in terms of producing honey in the state. Is that true?
Well, according to the beekeeper, he's really pleased. These are the most productive hives that he maintains. And he was telling me not that long ago that he's putting another box on, you know, in really short periods. So they're almost, you know, about to start appearing over the parapet at the town hall. So he's really excited by how productive they are and really surprised. But then there must be plenty of good stuff to eat around Hobart because we've got St David's Park, you've got the botanical gardens, you've got flowers that the council plant around the city. So there's plenty of stuff for the bees to forage on. So they're in a really good location. They're in the sunny side of the building and they're blocked from the wind. No one has access to them. So they're perfectly safe and people are safe from the bees. And they range a fair distance around Hobart, so also relying on people's gardens. So that's why it's important that we do have flowering things in our gardens that encourage insects and bees especially. So, you know, from a biodiversity perspective, These bees are really important, and from a biosecurity perspective, they're even more important. But just in general, I'd love to think that people can put plants in their gardens that look after bees, and, you know, that encourage bees, and also look after other forms of, you know, insect biodiversity, because that's really critical. And we know there's a lot of problems with bee communities around the world and with declining insect populations. So the more we can do to look after biodiversity, you know, through doing such programs, the better.
Bill, it sounds like, from what you're saying, that compared to bees that have to fend for themselves out in more bushland settings, these bees are living in the equivalent of the Hilton Hotel.
Well, it sounds like it, doesn't it? Yeah, they're pretty happy bees. They're in a great location. They've got a really enthusiastic and excellent beekeeper, and they serve a really important purpose. So it ticks all the boxes, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to having beehives somewhere. But just another little aspect of this was, probably 5 or 6 years ago, we had a really dumb regulation at council, and this is still probably existing in some places, that you couldn't keep bees at your house if they were closer than 50 metres from your neighbour, which meant you couldn't keep bees, basically, because how many people have a 50-metre buffer between them and their neighbours? So the Southern Beekeepers Association were keen to ensure that people were able to keep bees legally. So there was a big discussion at council and a recommendation that was put forward that we get rid of the rule that said you need a 50-metre distance from beehives to people's houses, and we implemented a code of conduct, which is what the Southern Beekeepers wanted to do.
Right.
And that means it's not about the distance, but how you take care of your bees and look after the hives. And it's been really successful. I don't have accurate figures, but it looks like there's been quite a significant growth in the number of beekeepers in Hobart, and the number of hives have proliferated, which is good, because in times like, you know, we're experiencing now, we want lots of pollinators. People are going a bit nuts, you know, growing vegetables and planting fruit trees and things, and we need pollinators to help finish the job. So people have keeping bees are serving a greater purpose, you know, for maintaining food, growing gardens in Hobart.
Hey, Bill, talking about the greater purpose and maintaining food growing gardens and food supplies, what happens to the honey that the council bees produce?
Well, I haven't seen any yet. So
I was expecting a sample of honey to arrive in the post with my rates notice.
Well, I'm hoping that the people's honey will be available at some point. So I need to follow up on that and just see how we'll go about, you know, distributing the honey. Does everybody get a spoonful, or is there enough to incentivise some sort of competition or something? Or
I'd like to see that the line of ratepayers lining up around the block to get their lick of honey.
Yes, yes. But it's also an important aspect of promoting beekeeping and promoting biodiversity. So to be able to use that honey supply as a tool to help educate people about the importance of insects and the importance of bees, I think could be used. So I reckon we'd be happy to come up with some creative ideas about how we could use it as a resource to encourage people to take care of bees, to make sure, you know, during hot, dry seasons, there's always some water around the garden for bees, and that you're planting the right plants that that bees want to feed off.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for coming on Evenings Tonight to tell us about the bees and the importance of having them there.
Yeah, look, thank you. I think it's a great story.